Good day, brethren. For optimal health for a human being, it is essential that every part of the human body is working properly. For you to say, I'm in optimal health, I'm in the best health I can be, you don't want to say, but I've got this pain in my little finger. Then you wouldn't really be in optimal health. You wouldn't want to be able to talk about any part of the body that you've got some kind of discomfort or pain. So if someone were to ask you, are you in optimal health? You'd want to be able to say that every single part of my body is feeling pretty good. Many people go for annual physical checkups with their doctors to ensure that each part of their body is working properly. Because they know that if one part is not functioning properly, it'll normally have some kind of effect on the rest of the body as well. You just won't feel right. And if it continues long enough, it could really detrimentally affect the rest of the body. Each part must work properly. In addition, the joints between the parts have to function properly. Anyone who's ever had arthritis or known someone who has arthritis knows that when you get those pains in those joints, it's not fun. And those joints are the things that bring the parts together. So not only must the parts all function properly, but those joints must function properly. Brethren, we are the parts of the body. We are the parts that make up the body of the living Jesus Christ. As a part, am I working properly? And are the joints between me and you working properly? In this period before Passover, we should be doing a lot of self-examination and asking questions like this. And in answering the question, we'll see today that we must pay attention to the health of the parts and the health of the joints. So to kind of illustrate this a little bit, those of you who are close enough will be able to see this. Maybe those at the back, you might have a bit of difficulty, but this is a little wire man. This little wire man's name, by the way, is Adam. You can buy one of these at the art museum downtown in Fort Worth. It's particularly useful for people that are trying to draw, you know, pictures of people. And you can bend Adam into all sorts of different shapes. He's got a body and he's got these major sort of components, these parts, but he's got joints between them. So you can change him around. You can move him into all sorts of interesting shapes. You can make him sit down, you know, and sit on the edge of the podium here. He's going to do that for most of the time. He's going to kind of sit here. Just want to make sure that he doesn't fall over the edge here. So just bear with me. Oh, he's going to fall over. Let's try and make sure that he hangs in there. He's not going to cooperate right now. Let me see. There we go. If I put his hand over there, then it steadies him. Now he's a little bit lopsided, but bear with that. We'll come back to him. But you'll see that, you know, he's got a head. And that's a good thing to have. And we've got a head as well. Our head is Jesus Christ. The rest of the body is us. The members make up the body. But the key thing is, everywhere that you see bending taking place, those are the joints in the body. And we've got to make sure that the joints and the parts are in good order. To start us off, let's read in Ephesians. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 15 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 to 16. And I'll read it out of two different translations here. I'll look firstly at the New King James Version, and then we'll look at the Revised Standard Version, because I think both of them kind of bring out this point slightly differently, and it's interesting to see. So, firstly, New King James Version, chapter 4 and verse 15 through 16 of Ephesians, says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body," so it says from whom, the head, in other words, "from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body and edifying of itself in love." Now, we've all read over these verses a number of times, I'm sure. But it's very interesting, if you look at this, that there are really distinctly two thoughts here. There's the thought about the parts, and there's the thought about the joints. And it talks about both of them as having to do their share. And the result is edifying of the body and growth of the body, building up of the body and growth of the body. If you look in the RSV version, the Revised Standard Version, same chapter, same verses, it says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love." That's an interesting translation, because it really implies that each part needs to work properly, but it also says that the joins are supplied to the parts by the head. It says, "from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied." The head has a major part in making sure that those joints are there and are in good order. And we need to acknowledge that and ask for help from the head of the church to ensure that the joints are working properly. So we can see then in these verses that there's definitely an important aspect of the joints as well as the parts. So whether you are the heart, the liver, the femur, the jawbone, or a vertebra, each of us is joined to the rest of the members of the body through the joints that are given to us by Jesus Christ, the head. In order for us to work properly as individual parts, we need not only to strengthen ourselves, but also to strengthen the joints with the other members of the body. So if I were to take Adam here and say, "Okay, Adam, now you're going to hold your hand up and you're going to wave. You're going to move this joint backwards and forwards. And you're going to wave at the people out in the audience." You know, he can do that. Now if I hadn't taken the whole of Adam to do that, if I'd just been able to pull this hand off and hold the hand up by itself and say, "Okay, hand, wave at the audience," nothing would have happened. The hand needed to be joined to the rest of the arm, to the rest of the body, to the head, so the head could send the signal, "Wave, hand." That, you know, it has to all be one. It's one system. That join is critical. The hand can't do anything on its own. As a part, I cannot focus on myself alone and ignore the rest of the body. I cannot exist on my own. The heart cannot jump out of the body and expect to live separately. If the body is going for a walk in one direction, the heart can't jump out and say, well, I'm going to walk in that direction. The heart needs to be connected to the rest of the body. It needs to be linked to the brain, the lungs, the stomach, etc. And they need to be linked to it. So it's a two-way street. The website WebMD, whether you like that particular one or not, I mean, that was one of the first ones that came out, you know, that really started being a source for, you know, knowledge about things that you can do to improve your health and things that you can watch out for in terms of telltale signs that might be telling you that you have a certain problem. There are many other websites out there today, of course, but this is the one that I used in preparing for this. WebMD provides 9 tips for maintaining healthy joints. And it was really interesting reading through those 9 tips. Because Ephesians talks so much here about the importance of the joints, I thought it would be interesting. You know, why did God inspire that? Why did he say, let's talk about the body, let's talk about the head, let's talk about the parts, and let's talk about the joints? Why did he say that if there weren't some real deep lessons for us just based on understanding what joints are and how to look after them properly? He doesn't use analogies that are just flippant analogies. Remember, he created us as human beings. He knows us. He knows how the human body works. Are there some lessons that we can learn from looking after our joints physically and looking after our joints from a spiritual perspective? Quoting from the media, from the article in WebMD, it says, and the article is called Caring for Your Joints, it says, a joint is the connection between two bones. Joints and their surrounding structures allow you to bend your elbows and your knees, to wiggle your hips, bend your back, you know, and turn your head and wave your fingers and say bye-bye. Smooth tissue called cartilage and a fluid called synovium cushion the joints so that bones do not rub together. But increasing age and injury, even sitting the wrong way or carrying too much weight, can wear and tear your cartilage. That can lead to inflammation and arthritis and other problems that can damage your joints. The best way to care for your joints is to keep them and your muscles and your ligaments and bones strong and stable. The article then goes on to describe 9 tips for healthy joints. And we're going to look through these one at a time, and we'll use them to reflect on the implied spiritual principles. Healthy tip for joints, number 1. Watch your weight. Watch your weight. So from a physical perspective, looking after the joints and making sure that they're in good shape, watch your weight. Keep your weight within a healthy range. It's one of the best things you can do for your joints. Every single one of these joints in this body is bearing the weight of this little man, Adam. And it's the same with us. Every joint, in some way or another, is bearing the weight of our bodies. And for us to be able to have healthy joints, let's see if he's going to stand over there, but precariously, but he's standing. For us to be able to have healthy joints and to be able to stand and move around, the more weight we're carrying, the more pressure there is on those joints. The higher the number on your bathroom scale, this is quoting from the article, the more wear and tear you put on your joints. Losing weight can reduce the pressure on your knees, your hips, your back, and prevents joint injury. So, for that first point then, what's the spiritual implication? The spiritual implication, and there could be many, but the one that really leapt out to me as I was thinking about this was, we shouldn't be weighed down spiritually. If we're weighed down, we're preoccupied and we're distracted, and we're not thinking about our joints. How much time do we spend on our joints? In other words, our relationship with each other, brethren. It's very difficult in this modern day and age. We're busy with so many things. We're weighed down with so many things. Do we make time to maybe call each other during the week? Hey, how's it going? I see you're having a problem with, you know, you mentioned on Facebook that you may be experiencing a tough week. Is there something I can help you with? Can I pray for you? Do we get a chance to do that? Or do we just, well, we just don't have time. We're weighed down. There's so many things going on. If we look in the book of Luke, there's a passage here, verse 29 through 36. It's the parable of the fig tree. And it talks about the fact that there are going to be a lot of signs that will take place. And in 34, it says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down." Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Now, I'm not suggesting for any moment that carousing and drunkenness is the problem, but I'm saying, and let's hope it isn't, but I am saying that the cares of this life do affect us. Every week we're just involved in just so many things. And it seems especially just before the Passover and just before the feast days, it just everything's happening simultaneously to distract us. And we could get weighed down. In verse 34 it says, the effect of that could be that the last part of the verse, that day will come upon you unexpectedly. Verse 35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Brethren, it's interesting that the words used in verse 34 are, lest your hearts be weighed down. If we're carrying too much weight with us, it's the weight of this world, it's the weight of all the things that beset us every day. It can distract us. And just as the weight, too much weight on this little man, Adam here, is going to wear away at his joints, the weight of this world is going to eat up our time, and we're not going to have time to think about our joints with each other, because we're going to be focused on ourselves. And remember what happens with us as human beings. If we just focus on the parts, if I just focus on my hand, that's wonderful, but if I want to wave to you, I got to know that it's joined to the rest of the body. So that's the first healthy tip. And the spiritual implication of it, don't be weighed down by the cares of this life. The second healthy tip, healthy joint tip number 2 from WebMD says, get moving. Get moving. Exercise. Exercise can help you to lose extra pounds. Aerobic exercise is very good, and low-impact exercises such as swimming or bicycling. The one thing that WebMD says is don't sit still. Couch potatoes, computer addicts, and anyone else who remains glued to a chair all day long have a high risk for joint pain. A high risk for joint pain. Less movement means more stiffness in your joints. So get up and get moving. So that's what WebMD is saying. It's not me saying it. It's WebMD. Now, what's the spiritual implication of this? Get moving. Well, there are a couple of things we could probably think about here, but the one that really came to mind for me was be an active Christian. Christianity is not, you know, there are no couch potatoes Christians, you know, in a spiritual sense. We can't spiritually be a couch potato. We cannot just sit there and think, well, okay, I've been called, I've been baptized, and now I'm just going to sit and wait for the kingdom. Doesn't work. We have to be active Christians, brethren. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 through 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 through 16, and also verse 21, it says, For by one Spirit all were baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink of one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body? It's therefore not of the body? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So again, just emphasizing the fact that all of us jointly have to be joined together, and all of us are needed for the health of the body. When God gives us His Spirit, we all become members of Christ's body. And He expects us to serve Him, to participate, to love and to serve one another. We can only do this if we're active participants. The scriptures admonish us in Hebrews 10 and verse 24 to 25. It says, and let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Christ expects the members of His body to be actively working together, assembling, cooperating, accomplishing the mission that He gave the church. So that's healthy joint number two. Active, being active, serving together. Healthy joint three, build muscle. Build muscle. Strong muscles cushion your joints. If you don't have enough muscle, your joints take a pounding, especially those in your knees, which must support the entire body. So WebMD talks about weight training and weight lifting. But what's the spiritual implication, building muscle? We have to keep exercising our faith. We have to keep exercising our faith, because that builds the faith muscle. And faith is such a fundamental part of being a strong Christian and a strong body of Christ. Christianity is not a spectator sport, as we said earlier. It's not a matter of simply watching others. It's putting into practice the things that we've been taught and stepping out in faith. Stepping out in faith and knowing that God is there and that the head will supply the power that we need. Simply stated, eternal life is a gift, but we are rewarded according to our works. And we have to work at things. We have to do it again and again. You know, sometimes people go to the gym and they say, oh, it's just so boring, I'm doing the same exercises over and over again. And sometimes us in our lives, we can have a trial that besets us and comes back and revisits us over and over again. And we can think, Again? Really? The same trial? Guess what? We're getting an opportunity to build that muscle. That's what's happening. We're building that muscle, that faith muscle. We're doing that same exercise again because God wants us to build that muscle. Healthy joint tip number 4, center yourself. Now you can see Adam up here, those of you who can see that far, he's standing a little bit lopsided as well. Now, you know, in order to get him to balance, to be able to stand without falling over, you have to figure out how to center him. Make sure that you are centered. And a lot of it has to do, from the WebMD perspective, has to do with your core strength. The strength, your stomach muscles and the muscles at the back. That's what's going to give you that ability to be centered, to be solid. What's the spiritual implication of being centered? There are really 2 thoughts here. One is living a God-centered life, being centered on the right thing. Not centered on yourself or centered on someone else or centered on worldly things, but being centered 100% on God. And the other idea around being centered is we've heard a lot in years gone by, especially about being grounded on the trunk of the tree and not going out on the twigs. Being centered, if we're centered on God and if we're centered on the trunk of the tree and not rushing off onto the twigs, that's the spiritual implication of being centered. If you are centered, then you're not going to be tossed about by crazy things that happen in your life or little issues that somehow blow up into big things. James, the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 6, talks here about, you know, a man that perhaps lacks wisdom, and says, ask of God and ask in faith. Verse 6 of chapter 1, it says, but let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Remember, this point that we're talking about is being centered on God. If you're centered, you're stable. This is talking about being unstable here, a double-minded man, like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind and the waves. Brethren, we have to be centered, and we have to be centered on God. Healthy tip for joints number 5. Know your limits. Certain exercises and activities might just be too tough for the joints that we have. You'll have pain if you've overstressed and you haven't known your limits for a particular exercise. You'll experience joint pain, and it'll actually cause major problem for your joints. The spiritual implication of this, brethren, is in everything, ask God for his help. The bottom line for us is that we can't do anything. And eventually, all of us get to that point in our lives where we realize we actually can't do anything without God. We can try, and sometimes we might be relatively successful, but in order for us to be really successful, in everything we have to acknowledge in God, and in everything we should ask him for help. James 5 in verse 16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What this is telling us is that not only should we be asking God for help and acknowledging Him, but we should also ask our brothers and sisters in the church to pray for us. Because, frankly, knowing our limits, knowing that we cannot do things on our own, leads us to not only calling to God, but also calling to each other and saying, I'm facing a major problem here. Please pray for me. I'm sure we've all had situations like that where we've called out for help. And we've really received it in a big way. This is a promise here. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Praying one for another and calling out for that is really important. Healthy tip number 6 for joints is perfect your posture. Perfect your posture. Now, Adam over here is not doing a terribly good job because he's standing very lopsided. There's something fundamentally wrong with him. I was working on him a little bit ahead of time, and I just couldn't get him to stand up straight. So I'm afraid he's not a terribly good, prop for this particular point. But I can remember my parents back. I was raised in Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe, and we used to go for walks as a family most evenings. We used to take the dogs for a walk, and we'd go for a walk out in our neighborhood. And my sister and I would go out in front, and my parents would be behind us. And I can hear their voices today still. Stand up straight, Derek. Put your head back. Put your chin out. Put your chest out. Swing those arms. Breathe. Breathe deeply. It was all about posture. Posture is very important. Slouching is not good. Slouching messes up your joints. Just thought of something now, which wondering whether I should mention it. Let me mention it. Our daughter at one point, now she's not here today, but I'm sure she'd be quite fine with me mentioning this example. At one stage, she had this boyfriend at high school. And he came over to our place, and we were meeting him for the first time. And he was a gymnast and so on, so he was standing up pretty straight and all the rest. And we thought, well, nice enough young chap. And then we went through to the lounge to sit down, and he slouched. And he virtually was lying down on the couch. And I thought to myself, wow, that tells me something immediately about this person. It just is striking. And I don't think, some people perhaps don't recognize the fact that slouching, the bodily language that is given off by that is not a good thing. The impression is, well, that person just really doesn't have a backbone. And maybe that's judging too quickly, but that's the immediate impression. But certainly from a medical perspective, from WebMD specifically says that slouching is bad for your joints. It's bad for your joints. Good posture helps guard your hip and joints and back muscles. When God designed the human body and He designed the parts and He designed the joints, He designed them in a way that, was optimal for the right performance. Slouching doesn't do that. Let's not be slouches from a spiritual perspective, brethren. Let's be ready. Let's be ready. The spiritual implication then, stand up straight. Stand firm on the promises of God. Stand up and be counted. Be courageous. Don't slouch. We know all of these things are things that we could turn to many scriptures to support a lot of these. Let's look at Psalm 37, the book of Psalms, chapter 37 and verse 18 to 19. It says, "The Lord knows the days of the upright." The upright, those who are standing up straight. It was quite interesting looking at, you're doing a word study on upright. Now, I know upright and righteous and so on, but those, the right, you know, it is figuratively the same sort of thought. Standing upright. "The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." You know, if you're upright, if you're standing on the promises, if you're obeying God, if you're righteous, no calamity that befalls you will take you down. Whether it's financial disaster or a life-robbing illness, none of that can affect you. Healthy joint tip number seven. Number seven from WebMD says, "Protect yourself." Protect yourself. WebMD says, "Make sure you always wear a helmet, knee pads, elbow and wrist pads when taking part in high-risk activities, including work-related ones, such as repetitive kneeling or squatting. Even if you think you're a pro on a bicycle or a pair of rollerblades, you should never go without safety gear covering those joints. Hit the wrong bump in the road and you could be headed for a lifetime of joint pain." What's the spiritual implication here, brethren? Spiritual implication, I'm sure it came straight to mind as soon as I said, "Protect yourself." Your mind probably went to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, talks to us very clearly about protecting ourselves. "Put on the whole armor of God." Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Brethren, when our joints with each other are under threat, who do you think is behind it? If I'm having a problem with you, and our joints, our relationship is under stress, who do you think is behind it? It's Satan. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places." Satan is behind it. He's trying to destroy the joints. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to protect those joints. Healthy joint tip number eight. Second last one. Healthy joint tip number eight. WebMD says, if you've got a problem with a joint, remember to add ice. Ice is really good on the joints. If you've got a joint that's inflamed or painful, put some ice on it. Ice is a great drug-free pain reliever. It helps relieve joint swelling and numbs the pain. If you have a sore joint, apply ice wrapped in a towel or a cold pack to the painful area for no more than 20 minutes. Try wrapping a bag of frozen vegetables, peas work best, in a light towel and put it around that joint. What's the spiritual implication? Keep cool. Don't get inflamed by emotion. You think about a lot of the pain that takes place in relationships, and you trace it back to anger or lust or various other things of that, you know, of that ilk, but certainly anger and lust and those kinds of emotions, those inflame the joints. Those cause major problems. Anger especially. So many people have deep-seated anger issues. And they allow those things to just, you know, well up inside them over the years. Best way to get inflammation down is to put ice on it. Keep it cool. Ask God to help you. Please help me to get the emotion out of this. Now, one of the important things about that is to take action quickly with that ice. If you leave it, it just gets worse and worse and worse. You know, there's a good saying, you should not let the sun go down on your wrath, on your anger. Treat it that day. Don't harbor angry thoughts or negative thoughts overnight. It just gets worse. It inflames even further. Talk it out. Get it out. And you know, restore peace. Get rid of the swelling. Do it early. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9, it says, "Be not hasty in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." Go to your brother, fix your relationships. We know that the Bible specifically talks about going to your brother. In Matthew 18, we won't turn there, but we know that that's a fundamental principle. That's putting ice on the relationship. Healthy joint tip number 9. Number 9, last one. Eat right. Eat right. If you want these joints to all function properly, eat right. And here in WebMD, they list out certain foods that will promote not only strong bones, but also the strong joints. And when they come to talking about the joints, they particularly mention joints that contain omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3 oil. They talk about oil for the joints. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, in your house, if you've got a squeaky door, it's squeaky on the hinge is just a joint. What do? You put oil on it. Isn't it interesting that our bodies, the joints, need oil to function? If you take that analogy a little bit further, what do we think of in terms of spiritual analogies around oil? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes to mind. Isn't it interesting that oil is needed for joints? The Holy Spirit needs to be present for our joints, our relationships, to work properly. The Holy Spirit is necessary for the functioning, the proper functioning of the parts with each other. Joints need oil. It's where the friction takes place, is at the joint. Without oil, there will be pain and eventual seizing up. Sometimes our connections with each other are stressed. Let's ask ourselves the question as we examine ourselves, brethren, if there are any stresses like that, how much oil are we applying? How much of God's Spirit are we applying? What was also interesting in looking at this was, you know, the first verse that we read in Ephesians 4, and specifically in the RSV version, it said, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it's supplied, when each part is working properly. Those words, working properly, if you look at the original, the Greek word is energia, and there are eight occurrences where it's used as working or effective working. And the implication here is used only of superhuman power. Interesting. Used only of superhuman power. Working properly. So working properly can only happen if there's superhuman power. The power of the Holy Spirit. The oil in the joints. It's clear that we need supernatural help, God's Holy Spirit, in order to work properly. God calls and places each member individually in the body where he or she can best grow and serve for the benefit of the body, of the entire body, for each other's growth, not only our own growth, but each other's growth. If you're the little toe or the little finger on Adam's hand here, maybe, that's because God wanted you there. Because he knows you. He designed the body, and he knows where you fit best. And he knows where you can benefit the rest of the body, as well as achieve the maximum growth for yourself and the whole body. To work properly as individual parts, we must be joined. We have to be connected to each other and thereby all connected back to the head. Brethren, as we approach the Passover, let's remember that we each need to be working properly. And that working properly also entails assessing the health of the connections and the joints with our fellow brethren. We need God's Holy Spirit to help us to improve our unity and our connection with each other. Working properly and fitly joined together, we will experience growth in the body. As it says in Ephesians 4, verse 16, the last part of the verse, it says, "This will cause growth of the body for edifying of itself in love."